Several years ago, there were some Christian scientists who put a lot of time and energy into researching what they believe may have been the star that gets referred to in Matthew's Gospel today. Now, that's interesting. Is it helpful? Not really, because Matthew's Gospel there and what he's given us is not about history or about science. It is actually about faith and symbolism. Matthew is the only one of the four gospel writers that records this event. And the event itself was most probably the combination of some older writings as well as the tradition of the early church. Matthew goes to a lot of trouble to make sure that people understand who Jesus is in his connection and his line to King David particularly. So if you go right back to the start of Matthew's Gospel, and this is only in chapter 2, so it's right at the beginning as well, but if you go right back to the start, you will get the genealogy of Jesus in Matthew's Gospel. I spared you that this morning, you owe me. Because it lists from Abraham right down to three sets of 14 lineages in there. So it's begat, 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 and then you have a break, and then there's another 14. Because the number 14, is significant in the Hebrew language. Every letter in the Hebrew language is equivalent to a number. And the abbreviation for David is DVD, means 14. And so that's why Matthew's done it. He just goes to a lot of trouble to make sure that his early church clearly understood the heritage, the humanity of Jesus, and then he leads into his divinity. So what you get today in the story of the Epiphany or the Revelation, the Manifestation, the opening up, if you like, is symbolism, not science. I'm sorry if that's a spoiler alert for some of you, but it's there. Matthew has placed this story in there to help the early church, particularly those who weren't of Jewish faith. And therefore, that's the key that unlocks our entry into the story of the three wise men. How does that happen? Well, firstly, the star. The star is going through the sky. It's not some comet or something. We don't know what it is exactly. So the star is symbolic of God, the light of the heavens. So a star does not belong to a country, a nation, a people. So a star is observed by everybody, depending where you are in the world. That means you guys and myself. So the star is what leads us to understand and be enlightened by Christ. So the child is, of course, what leads us to our faith, what enlightens us in our faith, but the star is symbolic of God in his heavens looking over everybody. He is not particular. And then we have the wise men. Now, during the course of history, the wise men have become kings. There's no mention of them being kings in Matthew's story here. However, it's probably come about because Herod was King Herod at the time. And what Matthew is trying to do is saying that the power of an earthly king, especially a mad king like Herod, the power that can never match the wisdom and the power of God. And so the three wise men coming from the east, they may have been astrologers, the men from the east, particularly Babylon, and even a bit further down in modern-day Yemen, they were noted for their astrology. So that may have been a skill they had. It's not important to the story. What is important is that they were foreigners. They made their way from the east to Bethlehem. So they were outsiders coming in, a bit like us. We're not Jews. We are the outsiders who have been invited in because somewhere along the line, the light of that star has given us our faith. That's what the kings represent. The business about the gold and the frankincense and the myrrh, gold always represents the kingship of Jesus, King of the universe. The frankincense, that represents the holiness or the priestliness of Jesus. Incense is what is used by the priests at the altar. So the gold for kingship, the frankincense, his priestliness. And the myrrh is the oil that is placed over the dead body before burial. So the myrrh represents the death and resurrection of Jesus. Matthew just uses these symbols, which may have been more obvious to his audience than to us. And that's why you have old men like me stand before you and try and explain these things. But it's not a historical event. It is something that draws us into the history of our salvation by the light of our faith, back to the star. And in that journey of our faith, it is a journey. That's why the wise men left. They didn't go back the same way. So once again, all of us sitting here today, no matter how old we are, young Joseph down here who can't walk yet, and us older people, we're all on the journey of our life. We're coming from wherever we come from with whatever we have. But somewhere along the line, we have been enlightened to some degree by faith. Somewhere along the line, it may have been as an infant baptized. It may be, and more likely, that we don't come to this understanding of the star and the mystery of God's enormity and love for each and every one of us. We don't get to that until we're a lot more mature. We celebrate it definitely at confirmation, the sacrament of confirmation, but it probably doesn't really land with some people, I guess, until they get married or they're ordained to the priesthood. It's at that time when you're an adult and you make a significant choice that you say things and you do things that you wouldn't have done when you were Joseph's age or even a little bit older. We grow into our faith, the journey of our faith. We need a guiding light in that. It's a very practical story. Don't get caught up in the trimmings of it. Get caught up behind what is the meaning of it. So Matthew has put this right at the beginning of his gospel. The last thing in Matthew's gospel, the very last thing, is what we call the Great Commissioning. Chapter 27, 28, the Great Commissioning. And it's what these last words are: go and baptize all nations in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And, this is the punchline, and know that I am with you until the end of time. That I am with you always. You should feel very, very comforted by that. If you didn't feel comforted by that, then you need to take it with you and sit and read it again. It's not in your bulletin. It's the last part of Matthew's gospel. Know that I am with you always. And that's the journey of our life. So concluding today is my last time saying the 10 o'clock mass here in this parish as your parish priest. I'm not leaving the planet or even the town. I will be around. But as your parish priest, I'd just like to close off on a prayer that has journeyed with me for a lot of my adult life, which I'll give to you this morning. You may know the last part of it. It is the rather famous prayer of St. Richard of Chichester. So thanks be to thee, my Lord Jesus Christ, for all the benefits you have given me, for all the pains and the insults you have borne for me. O most merciful Redeemer, friend and brother, may I know you more clearly, love you more dearly, and follow you more nearly. Amen.